Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu Pod of Rock, eurem Podcast-Magazin rund um Metal, Rock und allem drumherum. Präsentiert von EMP. Wir drehen den Verstärker für euch auf 11 und zwar jede Woche. Und jetzt viel Spaß mit einer neuen Episode Pod of Rock und eurem Host Josef Lex.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen. Ich bin's mal wieder, euer Lieblings-Josef. Und heute drehen wir uns in die absoluten Abgründe der Non-Existenz mit einer Band, die dieses Konzept im Namen trägt, nämlich mit Lacuna Coil. Der zauberhafte Andrea von Lacuna Coil hat es geschafft, sich bei mir in die Tonleitung zu hacken. Und bei der Gelegenheit dachte ich mir, Mensch, da schnappe ich ihn mir doch gleich mal für ein ausführliches Interview. Also, hello Andrea!
Hello, how are you doing?
How are you doing?
Great.
I reckon that there is an album in the works that will be released tomorrow. So yeah.
Oh yeah, finally it's ready to come out.
I would like to talk to you about the name and the and iconography of the album cover, Sleepless Empire. Can you tell me a bit about the concept, the idea behind the title and the artwork?
Yeah, we were normally when we're gonna start to work on a new album, we always try to find a title first, which can be not always the final one, but close. And also envision an image, especially Marco, our bass player, which is the main songwriter for the band. He likes to focus on one image to start the process of really working on a new album. Obviously, he does collect some riffs, parts before that as well. And we have some stuff maybe we worked in the past that we haven't finished. And I also collect a lot of phrases, Christine as well, titles, phrases. But we don't feel we really started working on a new album until we have that image, you know. And the image doesn't necessarily have to be the final cover of the album, but something that starts the creative and you kind of envision the album into this image. And so that was the beginning of the process. And as a title, I had this this vision of talking about an observation on how the society have developed. After the pandemic, especially after not only because of the pandemic, but other way we've been developing after the pandemic, and I think a lot of people reacted by going back to a sort of a normal schedule of going to work and do normal stuff, and a lot of other people has been kind of stuck on the online world, you know. But it's not necessarily a critique because we also do that. We're also always connected, always on the phone. And so it's more of an observation. And the observation is that we have this empire, which is all the social media, all the platform, Twitch and Spotify and YouTube and Netflix and all this stuff. So we have this huge quantity of information, of creativity, of, you know, a lot of inputs. But on the other hand, we're always looking at the screen and scrolling instead of using this as a benefit to do something more creative, you know. So that was just the overall observation about the society as it is nowadays, you know. That doesn't mean everybody is like that, but obviously a lot of people is very confused and stuck in between the digital and the real world, we thought.
That brings me to a, I hope, very interesting question. You've had your upbringing, your international recognition, basically at a time where file sharing was a big thing. Like, how did that play into your growing success as a band? And how did your view upon that change within the history of your band? And how does that inflict on your new album? That's three questions in one. I'm sorry.
Yeah. When we did Comalize, which was the first record that kind of brought us in a wider spectrums of bands, digital wasn't a thing yet. In fact, we did our first ever video clip with Comalize, that because MTV requested it, and so we, Century Media, our label at the time, gave us the budget to do a real video for the first time. We never had video clips before. So, because back then, unless you had a TV playing the video, there was not much use for a video, you know. And so we did it. And then with the next record, Karma Code, that's where we really saw the digital world coming in. Because we, together with EMI, which was the distributor of Century Media at the time, we put out a file of the song Our Truth, which was a fake file. It was just a name, Our Truth, Lacuna Coil, Our Truth, new single. But it was only white noise. There was no music in it. It was just a decoy. You know, we put it out to see what was the reaction of the people on the internet. And we had, in a week, we had something like 3 million downloads of the song. So we started to understand that something was changing, you know, and that internet wasn't just some pirates, people just downloading your music. It was more like a lot of people was using it. A lot of people was shifting into something like Napster at the time. But we didn't fully understand, I think. We started to consider the digital switch. And then the more time passed, the more we understood how much it was taking over music, you know. I'm not a person that go back in time and say it was better 20 years ago, you know. I'm not that kind of person. Certain things surely were better before the internet. Certain other things are better now, you know. I don't think technology is good or bad. I think the way you use it makes a difference. It can be a very useful toy for your work or for your life, or it can be a disaster. You know, it depends how you use it. And I think Lars from Metallica was the first one that really noticed how this thing would have changed the future, you know, and damage, you know, in one way the bands, you know. On other ways, it didn't damage, but nowadays it's much easier for bands to put their name out there, you know. But on the other hand, I think there's no more selection of quality, because there's no more rules. Everything is so fast. Nobody controlled what music you put out. You know, once where the label system was on, at least there was more of a sort of a filter of stuff that wasn't necessarily ready to be put out there. And we got lucky to grow up in a time where we could still release one record, make a little bit of success, and second record, a little bit more of success. Third record, success. You know, so we had time to develop our style, our personality, and learn from our mistakes. You know, nowadays you go out, you either make it or break it, and you either become something big or you disappear. You know,
you mentioned quality and the development of your band. If you would today run into some complete newbies that never recorded an album before, what would you say to them? What would you tell them that the recipe for good quality is as a band?
I think that it's not always, but in our case, the recipe was time. We had time to work together, to work with a producer, learn what songwriting is, learn how to write lyrics, and try and rehearse and make it better. And then our first three records were recorded in analog, so we didn't use the technology so much like you can today. So we had to really make it good to sound good in the real life, you know. So we had to learn by working hard. But obviously times have changed, and the kids we were back in the end of the 90s, and kids today are completely different, because they grow up with YouTube, they grow up with a lot of information, a lot of possibilities, a lot of instrument, a lot of technology that we didn't have. So we had to use the time to learn. Nowadays, everything is way faster also for them to learn. So it's hard to give an advice, because we grew up in a world that doesn't exist anymore, you know, in the way it was. Even a lot of bands ask me every day how I get a record deal, you know. The question today is, do you really need a record deal? Maybe, you know, it depends what you want to do. Maybe yes, maybe no, but it's not the same way. We send our cassette to Century Media and Nuclear Blast and other labels and got replies. We send faxes with requests and letters. We exchange faxes before we sign. And nowadays people doesn't even know what the fax is, you know. So the world has changed, and what the advice of today are not the advice of yesterday, of course. Overall, I think it's still important that you work to develop your personality more than everything else. You know, it doesn't matter if you're really good or if you're good enough, as long as you have a personal direction to your music, a personal approach to a style that maybe already exists, but with personality. That's the most difficult thing for a band to develop, is the personality, I think, more than the talent, you know, because you'll see so many really talented musicians today, but very often I see lack of personality. They all sound like they're the other bands. There's no research in the sound, there's no research in the vocals, there's no research in the lyrics, you know. So there's a lot of good musicians, good quality, but not good style, I think.
Style is a very good segue to my next question. I watched your music video for Gravity, and it has very intense visuals of you and your band getting thrown around like meat puppets at some points. How did you approach that, and are there any things within the video that retrospectively, after making it, you would have also do in future music videos? Because it looked like, and in some points it looked very hurtful. There were moments where catapulted through the room.
Yeah, it was very physically challenging, maybe the most physically challenging video we ever done. And we had bruises for like weeks after, me and Christine especially, because we did one day with the band and did the playback of the song, and then the little hang of Marco and the guitar player and the drums. And then the next day we did only me and Christina for all the vocal parts the whole day. So we've been hanged almost the whole day. And that was tough because we're not athletes, as much as I try to work out and keep in shape, but still we're not athletes. And it was very challenging physically, but it was a great result, I think. And we are actually filmed a week ago another video with the same director. So, but it's not as challenging because physically challenging, but it's also a couple of days of work, and we had to learn something we have never done before also for the next video, which is a different video, but for different reasons we had to work hard as well, not as much physically as this one. And I think overall it was great experience, and I think it's one of the best video we've ever done. I really like it, and I think it really fits the mood of the song, and so we're really, really happy with it. So
you are there. Can watch the music video right now, because before the interview started, you told me the 13th of February is when your new video comes out. So we can actually do a bit of a deep dive and put on the heat for the video. What else can you tell me about the process of the new music video that is released today that I unfortunately haven't seen yet?
Yeah, it's a video for the song I Wish You Were Dead, and we filmed it inside an abandoned church in central Italy. And the video is filmed all in one shot mostly. I mean, it's basically four parts. So it's like a movie, you know. It's like in Italy we call it piano sequenza. I don't know the term in English, but it's when you keep the camera rolling and you film all the actions at the same time. So if you make a mistake, you have to restart from the beginning. There's no possibility of editing in between because you have to film it all in one shot. So we did four parts like that, and then you can edit it in the middle of those four parts. But the whole four parts has to be completely done. So it was very hard because we had one day of rehearsal where we filmed the old parts to learn all the movements with the right right frame, so you don't go out of the frame and your every action is in the right place. And there's a lot of action going on at the same time. It's a story of basically a person killing, wanted to kill the other person. This is like a black humor kind of video. It has a little bit of the Addams Family vibe, a little bit of the monsters, the Addams Family. And so it's like dark humor. And there's some death traps around the video that there are happening in a mechanism. And yeah, and you see us dancing as well. So there's it's a funny video with very good visuals, and really fits the songs, the lyrics of the songs, obviously. And it was hard to shoot because we had to first rehearse the full day. We had a choreographer for the dance parts. We had a... all the timing of the machinery going on at the same time as the action was going on. So it's been very, very hard, but I think it's a great result. It's a beautiful video, I think.
I got one funny question left since you've mentioned the Addams Family, and I got a more topical question regarding your tour. Which one should I ask first?
Addams Family.
Which one of the Addams Family characters would you like to have a coffee with and talk about your band instead of talking with me about your band?
obviously, a lot of them are dead now, but probably Morticia would be cool to spend the night with. But always loved all the characters. It's one of my favorite TV show. Both Addams Family and The Monsters, which was another very similar show. I actually have The Monster tattooed here.
Oh, awesome.
And so I always loved that atmosphere, and I always watched it as a kid growing up. It kind of shaped my taste for horror and dark stuff. And because I always seen them, and I tattooed them because I always seen them, they were different. But for them, they were normal. It was the other people that was weird, you know? And I always seen it as a metaphor for metal people or alternative people, you know? Other people see alternative people as weird. But for us, it's them that they're weird, you know? For us, it's more, for me, it's more weird to see somebody that has a more of a regular job or, not that I say they shouldn't have it, but I say, for me, it's you that are living a weird life, not me, you know?
The thing about the Addams Family that I think is absolutely striking is the normalcy of them within themselves never invalidates the normalcy of the other people around them. It's only in their heads. So I think yes. Your metaphor fits absolutely perfectly. So outsiders from the scene look at metalheads and go like, oh God, why are they always wearing black? That's kind of spooky. And within the metal scene, it's like, oh, look at that guy over there. He's got a job in a bakery. How nice. And I think that's a very apt comparison. I like that very much.
And that's why I got the tattoo also. Not only because I like the TV show and the characters, but also because I saw it as a metaphor for my life as well.
Something, some other very important thing is happening to your life in the next few months. You're going on tour.
Yes.
What part of touring do you like most except being on stage?
Probably just the seeing people that we don't see very often. You know, so some people are coming to see us for many years now. So we see people that are almost friends because we've seen them so many times. So you go to Argentina, you know, you're going to see certain people that you always know. And and you don't see them very often. You see them maybe every 3-4 years, you know. And same in the States or in South America or in Mexico. And then the traveling, the tasting the food, the culture, the seeing the places. That I always loved, you know, and it's something that gave us a lot of inspiration also when we go write the next record or music in general. We always need to have been on tour, listen to new bands, see new faces, see new places. That's very inspiring. And it's my favorite part is the traveling, obviously. Not the flying, therefore 20 hours. You know, that's not the fun part, but the fun part is to get to travel, see friends, see people that you never met before, see the life of these people on the other side of the planet, and see that you have a lot in common, actually, even if you're far away or if you're coming from a different culture. You know, one of the greatest experiences was where we play Dubai, for example, for the first time. And we didn't know what to expect because we've never been there unless only in the airport, you know, to change the flight. And we all have a vision of Dubai, which is this rich paradise for people, you know. While at the show, there were a lot of metal heads from all over the Middle East. You know, there was people from Iran, from a lot of different countries, Saudi Arabia, Dubai. And so you see these people that was just like us, dressing with their metal shirt. And even if they're coming from a different, very different environment than us, you know, they would, where we have a little bit more certain freedoms, you know, and it was great to see the passion of these people, the love they have for metal, which is just like ours, you know, and same for when we go in Asia, you know, once we played in Vietnam a long time ago, and we were the only, the third international band to ever play Vietnam in the history of the country. There was before us, it was like Linkin Park, My Chemical Romance, and we were the third band that wasn't from Vietnam to play Vietnam. And there were like thousands of metal kids, and it was great to see these people doing the same thing we do when we play a festival or something like that, you know. And it's great to see the same energy, the same passion for music. I think metal has become the new world music, you know. Everywhere you go in the world, and we've been in a lot of places, there is the metalhead. It doesn't matter. And he's going to have his metal shirt, his metal pendant. It doesn't matter what culture he's from, what foods he eats, what places, but it's same passion, same lifestyle, you know.
Andrea, it's been an absolutely beautiful interview. It's been absolutely beautiful having you on the show. And the last words that you threw into the microphone were most certainly the most beautiful thing that I've heard all year so far. You guys out there, you over there, I can see you. You are not able to see me, but I can see you. You get out there, grab a copy of Sleepless Empire. Grab some Lacuna Coil tickets. You're all over the place, right? The tour is like very overarching. The list is longer than I can muster. You out there, take one of your evenings and take some time for the band Lacuna Coil, and we will hear us next week. Andrea, it's been beautiful. Goodbye.
Thank you very much. See you next time.
Goodbye.
Das war Pod of Rock, euer Podcast-Magazin rund um Metal, Rock und allem drumherum. Präsentiert von EMP. Und für Musik auf den Augen, werft doch einen akustisch formulierten Blick auf emp.de. Mit dem Code Pod of Rock erhaltet ihr satte Rabatte auf eure EMP-Bestellung und unterstützt so unseren Podcast.